Hello, everyone. This is going to be an interview with Sarah Herron. She's super rad, and she has an amazing nonprofit organization called SheLift. What did you like about this episode, Jonathan?
I liked a lot about this episode. Sarah is an incredibly inspiring person. She, if you have not heard of Sarah or SheLift or watched The Bachelor for the last few years, she was actually on The Bachelor as a bachelorette contestant.
She was contester.
She was a bachelorette contester, and did not end up finding love on the show. But she talks a lot about learning to love herself as a result afterwards. So this was a really awesome conversation where we talk about Sarah's journey. You know, The Bachelor being a part of it, but her journey from working as a graphic designer and art director in the advertising agency world, and then starting her nonprofit, SheLift. And just really owning this persona of being an authenticity advocate and a life coach and an inspiration to many women around the world who are facing adversity. And you, as we get into the episode, you'll kind of learn more about that.
Yeah, and she talks about how to reduce your self-limiting beliefs, which is really prevalent in many people, but obviously in women, that's a very prevalent problem. So that's one of her main goals, is to help women reduce those in themselves. And I love that. It was a great conversation. She's so down to earth, and we're excited to keep watching her amazing story.
Yeah, so in just a minute here, Sarah will give you a better rundown of who she is and everything that she's doing. Multifaceted marketer, creator, storyteller, inspiration. Enjoy the episode.
Bye.
Welcome to the Stokecast, where each week we bring you an inspiring athlete, adventurer, or entrepreneur and dig into their stories and strategies for balancing work, life, and adventure while having fun and making a difference. I'm Jonathan Ronzio.
And I'm Emily Holland. Thanks for joining us today.
Let's get to it.
Okay, we are here with Sarah Herron. How are you? Did I pronounce that right?
Of course, yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, great to have you here. We're really excited to talk with you. And yeah, let's just have you kind of tell our listeners who you are. Give us the overview of who Sarah is and what you do. I know it's a ton. Your resume is extensive and impressive and inspiring. So let's hear it.
Sure. Well, thanks. Yeah, I guess first and foremost, I'm Sarah Herron. I'm a Colorado native, and traditionally, my background is in graphic design. I worked in advertising professionally, and in 2013, I decided to kind of like step outside of my comfort zone and compete for love on ABC's The Bachelor. And it was there that I was the first contestant with a disability at the time, which really meant nothing to me, but ended up being quite a noteworthy thing, especially in the media, not having many women with physical differences appearing on TV shows like that. And so it was actually the response of appearing on the show that I heard from women all across the world who were living with physical differences, who were really relating and connecting to my story of working on self-improvement and self-acceptance. And it was with that motivation that I founded my nonprofit called SheLift. And today I work full-time with SheLift as the executive director and founder to help women and young girls discover confidence through outdoor recreation and mentorship. So we work with girls ranging from 8 years old up to about 30 years old who all have physical differences, and take them on outdoor adventures to help them discover confidence and self-esteem, because that is ultimately my love and where I found my confidence in the outdoors.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
Thanks.
And so you just got back from one of your retreats that you do through SheLift as well, right?
Yeah. So we host about 2 annual retreats currently, with 1 annual alumni reunion. And we just got back from a retreat here in Colorado. We hosted it in my hometown. Well, I guess I should say the town that I live in, which is Carbondale, Colorado. It's near Aspen, in between Aspen and Glenwood Springs. And we had an all-out camping experience where we had close to 20 women, some returning mentor alumni, and mostly all new young women come together and learn how to pitch a tent and filter water and stand up paddleboard and hike and just overcome some of the self-limiting beliefs through life coaching and group talk therapy sessions that are near and dear to my heart. And it was a really incredible experience.
That sounds amazing. I'm very biased to that area. I actually lived in Aspen in 2013, and so it forever has a piece of my heart, the valley.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yep, you know it well.
For sure. So when did you move out there?
So I grew up in Evergreen, Colorado, which is on the Front Range, and then I moved out to California when I got into design school. So I did all of college and my first 8 years professionally in Los Angeles. And so I just returned to Colorado 2 years ago. I just had my 2 year anniversary the other day.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I know, time flies, because I feel like I still feel like I don't know, I just moved back from California. So here I am.
Well, you've been on a crazy journey these past however many years it's been since the graphic design and art direction and working in advertising and everything you're doing with SheLift. And so one thing I do want to note is you mentioned it right at the front is when you were competing for love. And we don't need to talk too much about The Bachelor, but I know something that you really, part of your mission is this is self-love and learning to love yourself and help yourself in order to cultivate that confidence in different aspects of your life. And I know you even call your newsletter your self-help club. And so what was the contrast for you in that experience of competing for love versus, self-love of what you do now?
Yeah. That's a good question. I guess the biggest thing when I went on that show, I was not in a place of self-acceptance. And so I really felt that the reason it didn't work out for me was because I wasn't in a place of loving myself and truly accepting myself for who I was. And so instead it was like I was seeking the approval of everybody else. You know, I was seeking the approval of The Bachelor and the contestants and viewers. And so after I was eliminated from the show, it still didn't really click with me. I wouldn't say I had that aha moment the minute I got sent home. It was kind of, it took some time to kind of sink in. And then I went on Bachelor in Paradise and again, had a similar situation where I actually hit it off with a guy and we ended up calling it off because of the same thing. I just felt like I wasn't at a place of fully accepting myself yet. And it was after that show that I realized, okay, it's like the old saying goes, nobody will love you until you love yourself first. And I realized that was true for me. And I had a lot of work to do on, just kind of really accepting who I was and more importantly, my story and owning it wholeheartedly before anybody else could do that for me.
Yeah, and then not only just accepting that on your own and going through that journey on your own, but then you also had a public presence and was, out there in the world. And from my perspective and following you for however long I've been following you, it's always just breathing positivity into the world. But I imagine there's been times where that's been really hard to be that vulnerable with your followers and the people who are responding to your content. So how has that process been in moving past that vulnerability to just, put yourself out there?
Well, I have always found that I just am vulnerable. And, some may call it oversharing. That's just who I am. That's my nature to share what's on my mind. And I truly do wear my heart on my sleeve. And I think the reason I've been able to connect with an audience for as long as I have now, because if we're being realistic, I was on that show, maybe 7 years. Like, it's been a long time. And typically, like, normally contestants, that fan or that, like, fame will wear off, right? Because it's like you're no longer really relevant. And I truly think that the only reason I've been able to kind of stay in the conversation is because I've been authentic and I've just kept it real. And I truly feel that those moments that I'm able to let my guard down and share what I'm going through in real life, for better, for worse, is helping other women with wherever they are in their story as well. So I just have always felt like the more I can be authentic and true to who I am, the more people are going to relate to it and stay engaged with my story, which ultimately, like, I need their support still. You know, I've always said I don't have it all figured out and I definitely don't have the answers, but I'm more than happy to, like, share my journey as I'm developing, and hopefully that will entice other women to share as well.
Now, were you sharing your story and really, like, active on social or any digital mediums or even in person, like with events or speaking or whatever, were you sharing that story before your experience on The Bachelor? Or do you think that, like, you kind of stepped into owning that persona as a result of the exposure?
That is such a great question. And definitely I did not own my story before going on The Bachelor. And I truly think that that's part of why, you know, it didn't work out for me, and being in that place of not fully self-accepting myself, because I didn't share my story. Like, I was very self-conscious of, you know, even like posting photos of myself where my arm was showing. And anytime someone tried to be like, oh, I met a girl with, you know, one arm or whatever, I didn't want to be associated with that. Like, I didn't want to be labeled as someone that was different. I just wanted to blend in and not stand out. And then it was like, once I started getting all the messages from girls across the world that were like, I too was born without my arm, or my daughter was, or my sister struggles with acne, and so she has a hard time with self-acceptance, whatever the case may be, I realized, okay, I have a responsibility here, whether I'm ready to own it or not. And I need to start working with that story, because I think it would be a really big opportunity missed not to bring people in to just like what I was going through. So I really feel like my story kind of unfolded as it was evolving. There was never like the light switch that went off and I was like, okay, today I love myself and I'm going to share it. It was definitely like a gradual, slow progression. And the more I opened up and the more I became authentic, the more people responded to it.
Right. So you had to go through that process, you know, in however many years that took you to really own. And now through the
and I'm still working.
we are all a work in progress for sure.
Yeah.
But now you step up as a leader for women who feel those same things that you had felt at that time and maybe still continue to, and lead them through this journey of turning an insecurity into a superpower. Right. So like what is that mental shift when you're coaching, like, to help other girls or anybody really, like, take the things that they feel insecure about or ashamed about and turn it into what you can really, like, be your superpower, right? Be the thing that makes you strong.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I think that is my favorite element of SheLift, is being able to help the girls, like, through some of the things that I experienced. You know, a lot of the women that come through SheLift are in their early 20s and, or even younger, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old is when I started becoming aware that I had one arm and that made me different. And so, you know, with the older girls who are in their 20s going through dating and they're kicking off their professional careers, and just being able to, like, help them walk through those anxieties and those insecurities and help them identify that, like, hey, it's really like so much of it is just in our own heads. Like, so often we're self-conscious about the way we're going to look riding a bike, or, you know, for my case in point, like being a graphic designer, like I was so self-conscious. Are people going to think I can't be a graphic designer because I only have one arm? No, absolutely not. Like, no one thinks that. And those are what we call self-limiting beliefs. Those are just the limiting thoughts that we put on ourselves. And so to be able to help coach the girls through those thoughts and arrive at a place that's empowering and not limiting is like so rewarding. And that's truly where, you know, my juices kick in. I love it.
That's awesome. So going back to, I guess, the beginning of She Lift and creating that organization, like, what does that process look like coming from being on The Bachelor and then obviously your background in advertising and that world? Like, what did it take to put forth all of the, I guess, organizational aspects, but then also the sweat and blood and tears that it takes to put into creating an organization on your own?
It was not easy.
Fun,
I mean, it was not easy, but I think because of my creative background and just like my professional skills, like She Lift really just started as an idea. And thankfully, like, I had the skills to turn an idea into a sellable product. And I knew how to like market it. I knew how to brand it. I knew how to build a strategy around it. And I didn't know the first thing about building a business plan, but I knew how to make a presentation deck that could knock people's socks off. And so I really felt like I had this rock solid approach, that everybody was on board with, and everybody was just like, this is amazing. You have to do it. The next step was like, seriously, just Googling how to start a nonprofit because I didn't know where to go from there. And I kind of just called upon people that I knew had experience or could at least mentor me in the right way. So I would tap into, you know, past mentors, current colleagues, or even just other entrepreneurs and absorb as much advice and information as I could. But I am not kidding you when I say that I completely just winged it. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, and I still don't at all. So, you just make it up, fake it till you make it.
There's so much to be said for that, for sure. So during that process, had you left your 9-to-5 behind, or were you doing this on the side?
So initially I started it as a side project, and I wanted it to just be like one time I was going to take a group of girls on a ski trip because skiing is like my sport. That's my jam. That's where I discovered my physical ability. That's where I discovered my confidence. And so I wanted to share a ski experience with other girls born with limb differences like me. And within 2 weeks of essentially launching She Lift, if you will, I had gained so much attention and press recognition and applicants to the through the website to participate in the retreat, that I knew I needed to quit my job to give this a fighting chance. And at the time I was like, well, I'm just going to leave my job for like 6 months, go do it, and then I'll come back. Well, 6 months turned into, wow, okay, this is really sustainable. And now they want a second retreat. And we had, you know, 400 applicants the first time. And so that kind of gave me the confidence that this is a real thing that has a shot. So, I quit my job after 2 weeks and decided to take the leap fully and moved into my parents' house at age 29. And yeah, kind of restarted my life.
That's awesome. And so I think with those types of leaps of faith, sometimes you almost need to quit your job or put some sort of fire under your booty to like really go full throttle on it. And at the same time, I mean, with that many applicants just starting off, like obviously there's a need in a market, if we're talking business wise, for people who are wanting that type of engagement and wanting that type of retreat or just community in which they can engage with other women who are feeling similar ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was a total leap of faith. I mean, I knew that the people were there. I knew the women were there and that they wanted it, but yeah, I had no idea like am I going to do one and then it flops? Or like, what does it look like for me? And what does it look like for these girls moving forward?
Did you kind of always have that entrepreneurial drive?
I think yes, but I don't think I really tapped into it until starting SheLift. I mean, granted, when you work in advertising, and I was an art director, so I had creative briefs coming through, you know, every couple weeks. And in a sense, those are like new mini jobs, right? Like you're always solving a business problem. But once I left 72 and Sunny and started SheLift, that's when my mind really started to switch gears. And I was like, okay, I love this idea of coming up with business plans. And I love coming up with like the next marketing approach. And yeah, I think it really just kind of awoke the entrepreneurial monster that lives within me now.
Okay, so you launched the website, and within 2 weeks you had, you know, however many 400 applicants, and then you did your first retreat. So your very first product was the retreat, and
yes.
Now as that's continued to grow and you've done more retreats, you also have your personal brand, and you're doing, you know, not only coaching through SheLift, but you have this speaker persona, and you're blogging, and obviously have quite a presence,
yeah,
on social media. So like, how have the different extensions of this, you know, professional life as a brand persona in the media, how has that evolved from different content tracks, like speaking to,
yeah,
videos to whatever, you know?
For me, they all feel one and the same, because I'm just telling the same story, right? It doesn't matter if I'm talking to a girl with one arm or dwarfism, or I'm talking to a woman with two arms and two legs who is just struggling with self-acceptance. Like, it's the same message. It's the same story. And so for me, there's a lot of overlap, but there also comes, I think, you know, just like figuring out, which I still need to do and work on, the separation of the two, because the SheLift community is so special and so unique to itself that like, I want to preserve what they have, and not feel like what they're getting is also the same thing that a woman who's completely physically able gets. I don't want them to feel like they're getting the same thing that she gets, right? Like what they're getting is very special and unique to them. But at the same time, I do see the real need for other women who also just like, they need help reaching the top of the mountain. And I mean that metaphorically and literally, like they need help seeing the top. And I want to be able to help everybody, because as my favorite saying goes, it's teach from a place of not knowing. And my life coach, Allie Stark, said that. And I love it because it feels so true to me of like, I don't have the answers. I'm not an expert. I'm not, you know, like I will never claim to have the cure or the solve to fixing whatever you're going through, but I will be here by your side and I will give you my best advice. And I think that's like the most authentic way to teach from, is like, you want somebody that you know has been in the arena or is still in the arena with you. And I am very much in the arena with people still on a daily basis.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm taking it in.
I'm also just thinking back to, we were watching one of the videos, I think from the Moab adventure, was it? The SheLift Moab.
SheLift goes rappelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. Jonathan just looked at me. He's like, wow, this is really powerful stuff. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, this is crazy. And it just, I think the female aspect to, it's not just female, obviously, for SheLift, right? It's obviously the extended portion of that too. But the female aspect, we're seeing it more and more nowadays, which is great, is that there seems to be these little communities who are popping up that saw an area where it was like, women need more opportunities to come together with other women and not feel judged or threatened or whatever, and be in a place where they can just all grow together. So when you have some of these retreats, you know, what are the things that you hope the attendees are leaving with, new tools, without, you know, showing the secret sauce to these Sheila retreats?
Yeah, it's different per person. And it honestly kind of changes per retreat as well. And through these videos that we create, they actually help us kind of determine what the theme is for each retreat. Because I'll be honest, like, each one, I can say, okay, we're going to work on overcoming X, Y, and Z self-limiting belief. Because typically it's like, especially with the same age group, like they're all kind of going through the same thing. It's generally related to body image, dating, self-acceptance, and, you know, stepping into their professional career. And so we do talk about a lot of those themes, but every retreat has been different in that the women who come together somehow shape a theme that I couldn't have predicted. And so this most recent retreat that we had here in Colorado was the first one where we expanded our differences to include a woman with lymphedema and a woman with dwarfism and a woman with a very rare bone disease, in addition to limb difference. And it was interesting to see the perspectives of different physical bodies coming in, but the universal thoughts that they all still had. And so I think SheLift is just about creating a space where women can come in and say, hey, it doesn't matter if your legs are shorter or longer, or you have 10 fingers or 10 toes, like, we're all going through this together, and figuring out a way to empower one another and make sure that they conquer that obstacle with each other. So I really love that each retreat and each group of women kind of take on their own voice. And I love that they create a personality that's unique to their group. And, you know, from there, it just, I think is like, I think it's just cool to see the way that they kind of make it their own.
So I know you said that the first retreat was born out of, you know, you knowing that skiing was the thing that gave you confidence in your body, and so you wanted to share that experience with others. I'd love to hear you, you know, expand on the link between how adventure is a piece of cultivating confidence.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, I mean, it was pretty remarkable. I'll never forget. And it's so funny because so many of the women that come through SheLift say the exact same things. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just took a line out of my book, but not, because we all have the same thoughts. And that's when I was growing up, I deprived myself of so many opportunities and activities because I was worried with the way people would look at me. So like, I didn't want to play soccer because I didn't want to be running across the field and draw attention to myself. I didn't want to play volleyball well into my 20s because I didn't want people to be like concerned. Well, can Sarah play? Can't she play? Like, how, this is awkward. What do we do? I just never wanted people to be concerned about me or look at me. And so I just sat out. And when I was 23 years old, my family took a trip to Aspen for Thanksgiving, and everyone was going to go skiing for the day. And something in me was just like, you know what? I'm sick of sitting out, and I'm 23 and I'm in Aspen and it's freaking magical here. And I want to be up on the mountain too. So, I asked my dad if he would help me get some rentals and kind of like stick back with me for the day and give me a lesson. And of course, he didn't have to think twice about it. He was stoked. And he taught me how to ski. And I was 23 years old and I learned for the first time. And what really did it for me was, I don't remember the specific hill I came down, probably a bunny hill, but like I got to the bottom and I looked up and all I could think was like, I came down that, like I did that. And that was the coolest feeling ever. And to know that like I had done something I had never tried before and that I was actually stronger and more capable than I had ever given myself credit, literally like brought me to tears of joy. I'll never forget it. And I just was so motivated. I wanted to go again and again and again. And slowly but surely, you know, I was at the top of a bunny hill. I graduated to like the top of the mountain, and still to this day, every time I go skiing, it's impossible for me to not be up on that mountain and just have this like overwhelming sense of gratitude and humility for what I've been able to prove to myself.
I'm like, as you're telling that story, I'm like trying to think of the, you know, exact spots on Aspen Mountain where you might be, and like just like totally visualizing like you right there looking up, getting teary. I love it.
Yeah,
it's an amazing story. So
yeah, and I just wanted, I guess I didn't answer like the full question, but it was like what I'm saying is like that confidence transcended other aspects of my life, right? It was like once I knew what I was capable of, I wanted to try more things. And so I started taking on more and more recreational activities that I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can totally go climb Mount Baldy in LA, and I can go on these hikes, or I can even go climb Half Dome in Yosemite. And so it just kind of like turned into like one excursion after the other. Before, I was like doing them by myself, or I would meet awesome people on the trail. And when I would meet those people, they would be awesome people that I wanted to like hang out with more. And they helped me see my own like worthiness, I think, because they would see me as like a deserving person of those activities. And so that's when I was like, man, more girls need to experience this. More women need to believe that they are deserving of being out here and experiencing the things that I get to experience. So hopefully that's the second part of your question.
Totally. So what are some of the most recent experiences that you've like pursued to push your own confidence, or what's on your bucket list of things that you like know you want to try but might be a little scared of still?
So this year, my boyfriend got me into whitewater stand-up paddle boarding.
Intense.
Yeah, it is. It's really intense, but it's really awesome. And it's very frightening because moving water is like a lot scarier than snow. And, but it's similar in the sense that, you know, it evokes this intense adrenaline rush. And when you get to the bottom of the river, you're just like, holy cow, that was exhilarating and awesome. And so I think that was my activity this summer that I really got into. And I don't know, my bucket list moving forward, you know, I also really got into rappelling. I wish I had done more rock climbing this summer, but I didn't. I would say that might be my goal moving forward, as I would really like to get better at rock climbing.
Well, so speaking of, don't you have a trip coming up tomorrow that will take you to some climbing places?
Yes. Okay. So you mentioned you watched the Moab video, mm-hmm. and in it is a young woman named Caitlin. She's in the very beginning of the film. She's the one that's kind of freaking out, and she doesn't want to do the rappelling. Like, she was very nervous. She's deathly afraid of heights. And she actually, you'll see in the video, there is a moment where her self-limiting beliefs stopped her because she wanted to see somebody else with one hand do it first. Like, she didn't believe that she could do it until she saw someone else do it. And what's so amazing about Caitlin is she obviously went through with the rappel and loved it and conquered it and decided, you know what? I really like that feeling of the adrenaline rush meeting the, can I do it? And then the feeling of, I did do it. That felt amazing. And she went home this was last October. She went home that winter. And a few months later, a friend who is a para climber from the knee down, he has a prosthetic, and he encouraged her to come to his climbing gym. And he said, I think you'd really like indoor rock climbing. Come try it out. And same thing. She was like, well, if he can do it with one leg, I'm sure I can figure out a way to do it with one arm. So she went and, of course, kicked butt. and discovered she was actually quite good at rock climbing. And not only good, she was like really, really good. And she entered herself into the national paraclimbing competition and placed fourth. That was a huge, a huge win for her, and just like a boost of confidence to what she's actually capable of doing. And by placing fourth, that means she was placed into the championship. So she's going to Worlds in Innsbruck, Austria next week. And she called me to tell me this whole story, because if you look at a calendar, she started climbing in March. And it's now, she placed in August. So she had gone from never climbing before to placed in Worlds competition. What is that? Less than 9 months. So she called me to share her excitement and also say that she accredited her success to SheLift, because she said, I never would have believed that I could try something like this if I hadn't gone to the retreat and found the community that would empower me and, you know, coach me through the things that I've always been too afraid to do. So long story short, I'm flying to Atlanta, her hometown, tomorrow. Because I was like, I have to document this, like as a storyteller, as a creative, and as her friend and supporter, I'm like, Caitlin, this is huge. And I want to be there to support you and just like celebrate you. So I'm headed to Atlanta tomorrow. We're going to document it. We're going to fly to Innsbruck with her and go to the World Championship and create a little short little documentary about Caitlin and her story, which I think is really, really special. She said she doesn't want to be another, you know, Nike athlete. She doesn't want it to feel like that. She isn't setting out to be some inspirational athlete. She wants to motivate young women that no matter where they are in life, no matter their ability or disability, it's never too late to try something. And she's 27 years old. And I think that's her message is, you know, I was 27 years old and I decided to try rock climbing. And within 9 months, I was competing in the World Championship. So anything is possible with the right community and support. And I'm just so stoked for Caitlin and I can't wait to support her.
Wow.
That's so powerful. That's enough to like get you to get up and keep working on SheLift in the morning for sure.
I know. I'm like, Caitlin, I owe you everything. Yeah, I mean, truly, she's amazing.
That's awesome. So when can we expect to hear about that afterwards? I mean, obviously, we'll be watching along on your social, but when can we see that come out too? No pressure.
No pressure. Well, we'll have, first and foremost, we'll have the recap video from our Colorado retreat coming out in October, because we're actually in partnership with LifeStraw for that one. Nice. So you can expect to see that coming out on my social channels, SheLift, as well as LifeStraw and their social channels. And then Caitlin's documentary will come out after that. So I would say expect around the holidays.
Nice. That'll be rad.
So yeah. I want to ask a question, like just in general about balance, but also more specific. So like, you know, part of what we talk about on the Stoatcast here is how you balance work, life, and adventure and all the other things you're doing while having fun and making a difference. And I'd love to hear some of your stories and strategies for how you keep everything in your life moving in all different aspects, but also in a very dialed in situation of balance, asking for a friend, me, how you balance being, you know, in front of the lens and also behind the lens, in a sense of you are a creator and a storyteller and a director, and you're storyboarding and creating films, and yet you're also on the stage and in the films, and you know, it's you're bringing kind of like your background from the advertising world and working with brands to tell stories, but you're also, you have a personal brand where you are the host per se, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I want to answer as truthfully as possible. It's so easy to see the stories that we do on Instagram and think, you know, I am just living my best life and there's no issues. And I hope that I do an okay job at representing the truth, which is life is not all Instagram, you know, promotions and like peachy beach sceneries. And like, it's just not. And finding balance is really, really hard. And I struggle with it daily. And I feel like, I mean, can I be honest? I see a therapist once every other week. And in the off weeks, I see a life coach. And then in between all that, one of my best friends is a life coach. And so I just feel like it's very important, especially for me, to make sure that I am absorbing the tools and resources that I need to stay on track. Because if I'm not taking care of my mental health and my physical health, everything else is meaningless. And so it's really important that I stay the best version of me. Because if I'm not showing up the best version of me, SheLift isn't going to succeed. My storytelling through social media isn't going to succeed. And ultimately, the relationships in my life aren't going to succeed. And if I don't have any of that, I'm nothing. So balance is really hard. And I would say there isn't like a catch-all that works for everybody. It's about finding what works for you and prioritizing your core values. For me, one of my core values is self-care. And I actually, despite what you might think, tend to lean introverted. And it's also weird because I am a public profile and person, and I've been on The Bachelor, and I do have to be on, and I'm very like public, I guess. But when in my personal life, in my private life, I'm very introverted. And so making sure that I get time to decompress and have time to myself and like turn everything off is really important to my mental health. Another thing I think is I just am constantly absorbing information and I need to continue learning. And so I feel like the more I can continue to learn, the more I can do my roles better. And through that, I think is just about staying authentic. And it's like, if you slip and if you fall and if things fall out of balance or fall out of alignment, owning it and recognizing it and saying like, hey, I'm human and I'm imperfect and I'm not always going to be balanced and I'm definitely not always going to be in alignment, but I'm giving it my best shot and I'm learning every day.
So you seem like a very self-motivated and driven person, but of course, like you're very productive with your time. But what about your guilty pleasures? Like, do you give yourself permission to just like kind of, you know, relax and do nothing sometimes and not feel bad about it?
Oh man. Okay. So like during Bachelor season, it's so funny. I'm like, it's so crazy that I lived this life for 3 seasons and I'm still addicted to the show. And like, and so during Bachelor season, I am like, don't talk to me, Bachelor's on. And then don't talk to me the next morning because I need to listen to all the podcasts about it. And so I feel like those are my like guilty pleasure, turn off work, turn off like social media. Like I just zone out on it and I love it. It's like, it's just kind of my, yeah, it's how I turn off. And then also, like I said, self-care is huge to me. So like I prioritize mani-pedis and I prioritize like I take a lot of creative classes and even just like I really enjoy going and having a glass of wine at a cafe by myself. Like I just love spending time by myself.
That's awesome. Everyone could probably use a little bit more of that, extroverted or introverted.
Yeah. I think my boyfriend likes it too, because then it, you know, gives him some time alone too.
Yeah, that's always about balance. There's balance there too. Well, that's awesome. So I think one other question that we want to ask, which we ask all of our guests, is how do you define stoke?
That's a good question. I think I define stoke as what gets you up every day and what keeps your blood pumping. And yeah, I think it's like what fuels you to wake up and be the best version you can be. And I always want to say that carefully, because I don't mean it in like a literal, like you have to be amazing and perfect. It's like, just be the best you. I think that's, if you're feeling like you can be the best you and you're giving 100% and totally stoked on it, like you're winning at life. And that is like, I think that's how I would define it.
So of your many different pursuits, is there anything that you're most stoked on? Like, you do a lot of stuff, but is there something that really stands out as like when you finish it, you're just energized and fulfilled versus feeling like you need a glass of wine in The Bachelor?
That's a really good question. I think I get most stoked out of research and development. Like, I love going out and trying the activities that I can bring to She Lift, because that's always, you know, it gets back to pushing me out of my comfort zone, and it gets me doing things that are new and unfamiliar and seeing what I can ultimately bring back to She Lift and share with other girls to push them out of their comfort zone. That gets me totally stoked.
I love that you have designed a lifestyle and a career that allows you to call rock climbing and skiing R&D.
I know. I love it too. I love it.
So thinking of going back to the learning piece just for a second, and how you're always trying to learn more and more, like what are some things or some recent books or courses that you've taken that you thought were really powerful that maybe other listeners would think are really powerful?
Okay, so right now I'm listening and reading The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein. And the reason I say I'm listening and reading is because for me, like sometimes listening to like self-help books, I'll listen to like I'll read the first like 50 pages and be like, okay, I get it. And I close it and I stop reading it. If I listen to the author and I feel connected to her storytelling or his or her storytelling, I'm much more likely inclined to finish it. So I listen to it, but I also buy it because I like to, save quotes and highlight quotes that I can go back and reference. So I'm listening to her right now, and courses, man, I mean, I can give a shout out to my life coach. I think she's amazing. Everybody should go Google Allie Stark Wellness. She's awesome. I don't know if she could take on any more new clients, but she is phenomenal and just like rocking my world. So, she's pretty cool. And then I took a pottery class because that's like mindless and crafty and it felt really good and I loved it.
It's awesome. I feel like we all need those, like a little bit more creative outside of our normal 9-to-5 or, you know, more realistically like 7-to-7 jobs that we have.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a 3-hour class, you know, once a week, and to be able to just go in and it's like you're covered in clay. You can't check your phone. You're totally invested in the pottery and the wheel, and for 3 hours it's like no interruptions. It's so cool. I love it. I think everyone should take more art classes.
What got you into going to do pottery?
I was looking for something because I was relatively new in Carbondale and just kind of feeling like there isn't like a huge fitness community, fitness class community, I should say. When I lived in LA, I developed a really strong community around SoulCycle and hot yoga. And it was like, I literally formed some of my best friends by going to classes. And that doesn't exist here because everyone gets outside and they go real mountain biking and real rock climbing. And so I was still looking for a way that like I could take a class and meet people and build community. And since I'm creative and I love art and I hadn't taken pottery since like middle school, I just thought, hey, this sounds fun, and gave it a shot.
That's awesome. And then you have a bunch of like cool mugs that you can add to your collection and like cool vases and stuff.
That's what you would think. That's what you would think, except I apparently the instructor emailed me that I had glazed all of them incorrectly. And so he couldn't fire them because he said they would blow up in the kiln. So
fake it till you make it.
I know. So I actually didn't get anything out of the class, but that's okay because it was more about the process than the end piece.
That's great.
I'll do it that. Again. No, that's so good. It's a perfect place to end this. It's about the process, not the end piece.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, Sarah, I'm going to go down a list of ways people can connect, and feel free to add on or chime in. But I know you've got at Sarah Heron and sarahheron.com, and then shelift.org. And what else? Oh, you've got the She Lift podcast, Babes Supporting Babes.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I guess just Instagram, Sarah Heron. Fortunately, I have my name as like my handle everywhere. So you can find me everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I'm on all of it. Just Sarah Heron.
Now, does She Lift have an Instagram as well?
Yes. It's She Lift Grams.
She Lift Grams. Okay. Nice. Did you start that first, or your own name first?
Like no, I've had my personal account for, gosh, how long has Instagram been around? And then I started She Lift just 2 years ago. And She Lift, but the name was taken. So She Lift Grams felt appropriate.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been a super inspirational conversation. And we'll be looking forward to the documentary from your trip to, what it's you said, Austria. Innsbruck?
Yeah. Austria, yeah. Thank you.
That's going to be amazing. So, yeah, I'm absolutely stoked to see you continue to share all of your and your She Lift stories.
Cool. Thank you guys so much. This is a lot of fun.
So I have to say, I think the biggest takeaway from that chat for me was just hearing about Sarah's perspective on learning to prioritize self-care. Yeah. And like laddering everything you do up to aligning with your core values.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've heard it before, but it is so important to hear as much as you can, is that you have to love yourself before you can love others and before you can be the best version of yourself for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally love that. And I think she was really open and candid with a lot of the things that she does for her self-care. I think a lot of those are brushed under the table and not really talked about. So it was good to have like an open perspective around how mental health is part of that self-care, in addition to like the physical aspects and working out and like getting your hair done because you like that or whatever. What are you going to do for yourself this week?
Well, I was going to ask, are you going to get a life coach?
I want to. Everyone keeps talking about it. And I met one recently who's rad, and I might consider it.
I know. So as soon as we hung up with Sarah, you were like, everybody's got a life coach.
But me. Yeah, no, I need to get one. I think I might. Because it's like, I mean, it could only help if they're a good life coach. Like, it's not going to be a detriment to my life. I don't know, though. What do you think? Is that like something that you would prescribe yourself?
I think it's great.
If you're kind of like my life coach. Right now.
I kind of, I guess, take on that role for a few of my friends in a way, which is cool. I love it. I love, you know, anything that I can do to motivate anybody or like help build confidence in my friends and you know, anybody that follows my story. That's amazing. That's what it's all about, really. If I'm getting a life coach, so every week for the last few months, I have been working with my friend Jeff Siegel.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Jeff. You can go to jeffsiegelwellness.com. And yeah, so he's a personal trainer, and that's why I started working with Jeff. But Jeff also, you know, he's an instructor of mindfulness at Harvard, and he does a lot more than just train in fitness realm. And so just I mean, he's not technically my life coach, but just as a matter of like our sessions together, yeah. We talk about a lot of things in that realm. And so it's more of like a well-rounded workout, I guess.
Yeah. Totally.
So I actually was like recently writing down like routines that I wanted to do in like every single week. I wanted to, of course, we have a podcast. I wanted to, put out a song, which I had been trying to do, like the Sunday Serenades, where I'll like record just an acoustic jam. We've got the Explore Inspired newsletter. I wanted to do more live videos. I had the Explore Inspired show that I did for a while, but like basically I was just kind of trying to like, what creatively could I do? What physically could I do? Like I wanted to every week maybe run 20 miles, bike 20 miles and swim a mile and maybe climb for a day and make sure that I do one date night a week with my wife and maybe get a massage or acupuncture or float spa like once a week.
Float spa.
Yeah, I know. Float is great, right? So like I just recently started thinking about that. Like I have my daily morning routine, but really quantifying like a weekly checklist of the things that are not just like business related, but life related that would fulfill me.
I think what to her point with the pottery class, I think that's a good idea because it kind of like is outside of your business realm, outside of your personal relationships. It's so outside of that. And it's something that you have to go to separate from like your friend group or your relationship and is a little bit more independent. And you have to not look at your phone. Like those two things together are great. And it's a creative outlet that you can utilize. And then the juices that get flowing during that time obviously like bleed into the other aspects of like, I really like that idea of doing something that's like a little less regimented, I guess, than, you know what I mean?
Because totally,
I feel
yeah.
like we get into an over-scheduling pattern, you and I both do this, I think, where we're like, I'm going to do this for these 2 hours, and then I'm going to go to my job, and then I'm going to do this, and then it's like, well, Jesus, where'd all the day go? Like, I didn't get any time to just like, you know, do something different for myself. So I think it's both the routine thing, but then also realizing, oh, maybe I should try this other thing that could like tap into a different part of my brain.
Yeah, so regarding trying the other thing that taps into a different part of my brain.
Yeah.
This is I'm going to put it out there now. When Alex and I were traveling around Idaho and Montana, like we were in Sun Valley.
Yeah.
And there's an ice rink in Sun Valley. And for anybody listening who doesn't know, my wife, Alex, is a professional figure skater. And so we were on the rink and I asked her, I was like, how long do you think it would take me to get an axel? And granted, like, so I've skated maybe 4 times in the last 6 years
and
or something.
And you've been married to a figure skater.
Yeah, I mean, like, if she's at the rink all the time, so it's not like a thing that we go and do together.
I feel like you could go more often.
I go and I watch her, but I don't get on the ice. So I rented a pair of skates when we were in Sun Valley, and I got on the ice. And in that first session, I did a waltz jump, very sloppily. But when I asked how long it would take me to get an axel, she was like, maybe if you spent like the next 2 to 3 years really working at it, you could get it. And I was like, I'll do it within a year. So that's like a new fun challenge, as just like, I will be taking lessons from my wife and, trying to get an axel within a year.
I love it. All right. So we'll check back in a year once the Stokecast is also the, you know, number one podcast in the world, because we're going to have world domination. We'll see if you did that Axl Rose.
So that's my pottery is figure skating, I guess. Something very outside of my norm.
But anyways, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and write reviews for us and give us your feedback and feel free to reach out and let us know what you're thinking.
And all the links that we mentioned of ways to connect with Sarah and continue to follow her story, you can find in the show notes at exploreinspired.com/stokecast, or just thestokecast.com is going to forward you right there as well, and you'll see Sarah's episode title.
Nailed that outro. You crushed it.
So did you.
Nailed
Way to go.
It. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Emily Holland.
And I'm Jonathan Ronzio. We'll catch you next week with another episode of the Stokecast.